Belief with no talent will get you further than talent with no belief. If you have the two, you'll be unstoppable. Hello and welcome to Same Old Wombles, from some of the team that bought you yellow and blue back in the day. This is a weekly podcast with numerous men of a certain age. We're all football fans chatting about all things AFC Wimbledon. We are non-affiliated, non-partisan, and despite watching the Dons for around 40 years each, we still can't agree on very much. Same old Wombles. My name is Mark Lewis. I'm randomly known as Tall Mark, the Tall Program Seller, and I've been a Dons fan for quite a while. Today's panel features Alex Folkes, veteran of election campaigns in Bosnia and the Ukraine, amongst other places in Far Eastern Europe. But more importantly, as a man of Cornwall, he's someone who correctly knows how to eat a scone. Matt Cooper, responsible for most of that crazy art you see on the walls around Plough Lane nowadays, who once wrote a play called A Fans Club. Allegedly, he's going to update it one day. Niall Cooper, you might have written a book or two about AFC Wimbledon's history. You might have read them. You might have them on your shelf next to you. He's the younger brother of Matt, a Don Trust board member. But everything he mentions on the podcast today is entirely his own words and nothing to do with the Don's Trust, nor the official policy of Amnesty International or Fair Game, or any other group he may have joined recently. And last but not least, Adam Proctor, the tech genius behind this podcast. He specializes in ethical technology, but still believes that Nesta Guinness-Walker was good enough to wear a Don shirt. Today's panel on Same Old Wombles.
All I want to do is watch football. All I want to do is watch football. We fell down, we fell broke, like we ain't got a hope. Like the times when you're down to 10. What can you do when they're coming at you? You gotta take it back to them.
Good evening, gents. How are we all doing?
We're all right. You know, recovering from Chatfield's glorious 1-0 defeat.
It's very up and down. I'm excited about the Asal goal that people were going, how was that disallowed? I am right, though. He did volleyball it in, didn't he?
I think the big debate is whether it was handball or offside. Nobody really quite knows.
It certainly wasn't offside.
Wasn't offside, no.
I think he was both.
Was that last contribution in an AFC Wimbledon shirt?
We'll get on to that one soon.
Controversial stuff straight away.
Okay, so let's jump straight into it. Let's talk about the season so far. We're going to cover a number of things today. We're going to cover the transfer window, and then we're going to wrap things up by looking at the best of. This week's the best of will be the best loney 11. In other words, 11 players chosen from a vast list of loan players we've had as AFC Wimbledon. This is AFC Wimbledon rather than Wimbledon, because frankly, the list would be far too long if we went right back there. So, season so far, six
games.
Mean
we don't have Dave Swindlehurst?
Can't have Dave Swindlehurst.
Sorry. Brilliant.
Best 11, not worst 11. That would be far too easy. So, season so far, six games played in the league, two wins, two draws, two defeats, zero goal difference. Are we as average as that sounds?
It speaks for itself, Mark. It does sound. I mean, like you couldn't be more average. I mean, we've played well. We certainly played well enough in the second half to get something out of that game against Barrow.
But we didn't play in the first half.
No, we didn't play in the first half. That was the problem. I think the next few games coming up are going to be a problem.
Speed of our play was the bit that did it, Matt. I could barely keep pace with the first half, where we just moved the ball so quickly. It was that speed and direction and dynamism that was really shown us apart in that first half. It was just unbelievable.
What it was a bit like watching over 50s football.
I don't know if it was that fast.
It was a lot of side to side, wasn't it? It was a side to side, apart from don't pass to Will. That's what I felt it was.
So let's let Alex jump in here. That was his first live game on Saturday. What was your impression, Alex?
Try not to do impressions. I'm very bad at them. I thought that the spirit of Anthony Hartigan lived on. Sideways, sideways, backwards, backwards, sideways. I watched a few games while I was away. I watched them because I was overseas. I could watch them online and give my €11 to the club. And I thought that Jack Curry was brilliant. And then I saw him on Saturday and, okay, he got shaken up and he got taken off. So clearly it wasn't all right that time. But I didn't think he was all that. So is that a case of the Asals or the Rudies from last season where teams are finding out about our great players and managing to neutralise them very quickly? Or is it he just had an off game and everybody's entitled to an off game, but he just didn't do it for me? I thought that Davison ran around brilliantly, but to no avail. I thought Mahoma was great. But yeah, we didn't deserve to win it. I'm not 100% sure we deserved to lose it, but we certainly didn't deserve to win that game.
I sat next to Alex at the game the whole time, and he spent most of the time going, pass his side, pass his size, passing it back, passing it side, passing it back. And then he spent the second half going, I hate football. It was the introduction my daughter needed, who was sitting next to me as well, on the other side.
But talking about introductions, there were, I don't know, 200, 300, maybe 400 extra tickets there on Saturday. So the attendance was just over 7,000. How impressed or depressed do we think any of those new fans would have been? And will they be coming back?
I think my pie is probably really helpful. And then it's that or the Dough Shack. And I think both of those probably lifted the morale of that. And then there was also the little bit on the side that had the kids kicking the balls into goals, right? The foundation. Actually, all seriously, I think the atmosphere around the ground is what makes it special. Now, the 90 minutes on the pitch has been not great. And the first half wasn't good, but I certainly overheard a number of people walking around on this around the back of the south stand in the fan zone and being surprised by the feel of the atmosphere of the club. So that there is a feel of that that I think is good, and we can build on that, and that's probably we'll get more people in on the pitch. Yeah, we still need to work on stuff,
that's the worry, isn't it, that maybe that if it's the first game they came to, that it probably wasn't the most exhilarating of games, but they enjoyed the atmosphere. I mean, yeah, I thought the atmosphere again around the ground was really good. My pie for 2 weeks in a row hasn't had a vegan option, so that is not good. And apparently one of the stewards didn't know where some of the seating was for some people with pieces of paper who I tried to grab and try and tell them where the seats were, but they sort of disappeared mumbling, well, how come the steward doesn't know where the seats are? Which I've already told the Don's Trust board through Niall, obviously. So, no, but I think it's a great idea. I think get more people locally in, get them to enjoy it, because yeah, I took a couple of photos and it looked packed. It looked great. You know, again, nice day out. So, but yeah,
and the thumbs up to the Don's Trust or, you know, whoever came up with that idea. We'll talk about Don's Trust stuff later on as well. So 6 games in, are we surprised about League Two, or is it just as frustrating and has just as poor refereeing officials as we thought it would do?
I think it's exactly what we expected. Slightly more combative and slightly more cloggy than League One, but nothing that we are going to be able to run away with. And clearly we're not running away with it. Terrible officials, but we have those in League One too. The bit that surprised me the most is the number of season tickets we've sold and the number of people turning up to the game, which I think is really positive. Yeah, we're not quite selling out, but not selling out against Barrow is perhaps very predictable. But you know, we don't have that number of ex-Premier League teams in League Two that we had in League One. So we don't have those huge, great automatic paydays. But equally, to be selling over 7,000 tickets for home games against relatively unknown, distant opposition, I think is pretty good. So it's just a question of turning it around on the pitch.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think the off-the-pitch stuff is what we're doing, is what we're doing well at the moment. And I think we've got some good signings in there. We've got some good people in there. I think having Osu in to cover Jack Curry, I think is a great thing. Do we need another right back? Is it an interesting debate? But you know, around about, I mean, I think even things like having Fash turn up, I think is a good thing, because that just, you know, there's a lot of people in the local area who would have heard of him. I think him coming along, I think for a lot of us, he was a hero. I know that some of you feel he's got a bit of a dodgy past, but personally, I mean, I think he was, you know, it was the probably the most exciting signing that, you know, that my first, the first real proper exciting signing from watching the Dons. And he certainly led the line really well. He was great for us. And, you know, I've seen his little interview afterwards, which was quite fun. I'm not sure how much of it I believe. You know, I think all around it, it's great. We just need to hopefully motivate the players to get on. But we've got some decent players in there.
Yeah.
There's a whole lot of things, man. I might say no comment to what you just said.
You're allowed to make a comment about how you feel as a fan, Niall.
Oh, I know. Fashion is an interesting one. He's a real Marmite character. On that. I think in terms of the team, we're not far off. We probably still need to strengthen a bit in defence. And I think we could do with, it'd be interesting when we're jobs back to see whether our midfield gets the kind of robust nature that he needs. I think, and it's a bit of like, they just need to kind of come together a little bit. We weren't far off against Barrow, and we should have really nicked a point, and we didn't actually play well. So that's the big key. I think up front, you know, we've got to remember how bad we were last season. So it's definitely an improvement. I think there's going on. I kind of look at the team now and go, the team we've got would beat the team that ended League One, right? You know, which is progress. And I suppose that's how we have to look at it.
That is progress. Yeah, I'm feeling possibly that you and I could have beaten that. And the five of us together as a decent five-a-side team could have given the team at the end of last year run for their money.
Not sure about that. But I mean,
Mark, I've seen you play, mate. Yeah.
The next live game I get to see is going to be the one where I start to really understand. Because again, for me, it was that compression of the midfield back into defence and the real slow first half. I just didn't understand why they were allowing themselves to be so deep in the midfield against the defence. It kind of just crushed the whole setup. And that changed in the second half. I mean, again, I thought that we should have brought on, who do we bring on? Asal and Pell. I thought we should have brought them on at half time, but managers know that no one does that anymore. No one brings anyone on at half time. So although there were earlier subs, which I was pleased about, it did change the game quite a lot. But I thought he could have changed those two players at half time, but we'll have to see what happens in the next match for me, to see how the season starts to pan out.
And I think it's going to be a big argument on whether you can play a Town and NYC at the same time. They're really exciting players. You look at those two and you look at Paris and you see that as being like where we could get to and how we could progress. And if we can get some way of getting those three to combine, then, you know, I feel that's quite something. Paris is probably playing too deep. And I think we're only doing that because we didn't have Pell properly in the team. We haven't got Woodyard properly in the team. As being a more defensive midfielder to allow that to push forward. That's where I see the potential for us. And you think about, like, you know, Curry also looking really exciting on that other flank. Then for me, it's like, what can we do on the right side? And then you get a bit of balance. So I think the defensive proper defensive midfielder, a right, first playing on the right and letting Paris out and NYC basically play wherever they want to up front. And they'll got an exciting team. And maybe Nightingale can defend it more. He's not playing as well as he can.
So that seems like a good time to be able to then morph into talking about the transfer window itself. Transfer window, thumbs up or thumbs down in terms of the players we brought in. And as Niles has mentioned, players potentially we could still bring in. We're recording this a couple of days before the end of the transfer window. I don't think any of us want there to be any more outs, but we'd be quite happy if there were one or two more ins, as they say. So we brought in no particular order, in defence, Gunter and Pierce. Up front, you've got the guy who's only an inch taller than me. That's Hudlin from Huddersfield. And obviously Josh Davidson and NYC, who seems to have caught the imagination of lots of different people, except for my wife. Right down to on Saturday when she saw a young kid that looked a little bit like NYC, she said, you know, you look a little bit like this guy. And I don't really like this guy, NYC, because, you know, he's too full of himself. To which the kid said, don't worry, I'll tell him he's my big brother. True story. So Hudlin's come in, Pierce has come in. Obviously, Paris Magoma that Josh Niles has mentioned has come in. Harry Pell the other day, and Davison, NMOC, and Gunter. So, are we happy with the people we brought in? Any of those people? Obviously, Hudlin, I guess the jury is still out, but are we happy, generally speaking, in terms of that transfer window, bearing in mind we thought we'd always lose Rudy, and we lost Hartigan, so to speak. Chocker went, Robinson went out on loan, and I'm sure there's one or two other players I've missed out that we had on in the club last year who are not with us anymore.
There's a guy called McCormick. Did you anybody know McCormick?
Well... That was a point indeed I was going to mention. Does Luke McCormick deserve to be the pariah that Wimbledon fans have made him out to be on social media? I'm voting categorically with two thumbs yes.
I think anyone who is as unprofessional as that, you know, if you want to get a move away, you go into the lineup and you do the best you can and work the hardest you possibly can, and then you'll get noticed and you get a move away. By simply refusing to play, refusing to train, and having an attitude on him, it's just, of course you're going to turn people against you. I mean, it's just obvious. I mean, you know, I understand he's a good player, and I think at his best he could be a game changer. But it's the attitude is the thing, and I think for us as fans, what you want is a good attitude. You want people on the pitch who are trying 100% for you, and you want people who are gonna be positive about giving an opportunity to say. I mean, like, you know, the kissing the badge thing is, I understand why people do it and whatever it is, but it's no great shakes. But whilst you're with the club, give 100%. That's all I want from my players.
No, I think we've done a good swap. You know, we've got some good players in. I don't know what our right-back options are, but I would like some options. I think Nightingale obviously had a bit of a bad first half at the very least on Saturday, so I'd like some changes, you know, some options there. We seem to have a lot of defenders, but I haven't quite worked out all of their positions. Do we need anyone else? No, I think if that really tall guy can get fit. I mean, he's back training, isn't he? So hopefully he should be with us soon. I think that would be a bit of a game changer. I don't know. I think we've got a really good squad. That's why I just don't understand what happened in the first half and why we keep it getting compressed. I don't understand enough to figure out why that's happening. So I think we're good. I don't think we need anyone else. I don't think we need to sell anyone else. Yeah.
Adam, I think the big thing is just because we play out from the back, people are pressing us. I mean, and there's no option going forward. No one's running around. So it's just, you know, that, and it's like, look for an angle. Oh no, I'm going to pass it sideways or pass it, you know, and that's a problem. I mean, I think, again, my problem is that I grew up watching Wimbledon in the old days where it was route one. You hit a long ball, it bounced off someone up front, it fell to a short guy, put it in. Or the big guy up front would nod it in. You know, it's a different sort of... So I'm having to learn how to be patient with my football.
I think that's one of the big things, isn't it? When you look at how Johnny's been reacting about the kind of lack of patience, you have to remember that he's come from Charlton, who are like not the fastest of teams, not really kind of... not renowned for that kind of route oneness that we've all been brought up in, you know. So it's like it's a little bit of a culture shock when you watch 8,000 passes sideways and not. I don't know what they're trying to do. They're looking to get the ball to Paris to then try and spread it out because Paris can unlock and look for that. But they're looking to wait for the teams to get out of position and then a player finds the pass that creates it. But it's just a bit too slow at the moment for me. I think we still could do with a bit of pace on the right. So I think that's missing. So I think when you look at what we've got with Osu and Curry, you've got stuff down that side that looks useful. And you've got, you know, a bit of pace going through other areas of the field. I'd still like a defensive mid to really kind of break it up. I think Harry Pell's a good signing. In terms of who we've signed, all of them, they're either all looking good or okay, right? So I've still got question marks in my own mind about Pierce and Gunter. All right, but, you know, not spectacular. But then in saying that, that was where we were really rubbish last season. So, you know, it's an improvement.
I think the reality is we are, once again, a new team. I just looked at the programme from Saturday and looked at the Barrow FA Cup game that we played in the middle of COVID lockdown stuff, when we played three games a week. We have three players from that team in November 2020 that started that game and started on Saturday. Zanef, Nightingale and Chislett. Everyone else has moved on, or one or two of them are injured. And, you know, Magoma played his sixth game ever, apparently, of professional football on Saturday. NYC's got it pretty similar as well. These people are going to take some time to gel. Obviously, we know that fans, football fans in general, but especially women fans, do not have the patience overall. I mean, even pre-match, Jackson had warned that Pell essentially didn't have the legs on him. He didn't quite say that, but essentially he said, you know, had a little bit of patience with him. And for the first 15 minutes, Pell was fine, and then you can clearly see that he was running on empty. But, I mean, I'd love to say I'm in the know of Nostradamus, but I did actually say on last week's podcast that Harry Pell was the man, or the type of player, that we'd love to have in midfield. And little did I know that, you know, 48 hours later or whatever, he was going to come in. And the question is, if he's playing 3-5-2, which we think he is, who is the first choice midfield three? And for me, it's probably going to be Pell, Woodyard and Asal.
So obviously, Mark, what he did is, obviously, once you mentioned that last week, I was straight on the fact of the gaffer. So look, Paul Mark has said categorically we need to get Harry Pell in. And that's what happens. And that's how the Don's Trust Board operates. We're very much like that. So if anybody wants to phone me up and make a recommendation, then I'll get on the phone to the gaffer, obviously, because that's exactly how the Don's Trust Board operates. We'll get him in. Or that might not be the case. Just putting that out there. That's obviously what happens. Okay.
As we said, Niall Cooper, his views are his own.
I'm interested though with this 3-5-2. So, what's our three at the back? Nightingale, Pearson, Gunter.
Yes. I wouldn't play Will. I'd play Gunter right side, because you need people in the back three to bring the ball forward, not to stand there and pass sideways as Brown and Pearce did on Saturday.
Brown, that's who I'm missing. So, what is our three? It's Brown, Nightingale and Pearce.
Well, yeah, my three would be Brown, Nightingale. Oh, no, sorry. Brown, Pearce and Gunter. And I'd play someone else right wing back. And Will, bless him, would be on the bench.
So Gunter's right back. Curry or Asu are going left.
Yeah.
So we definitely need someone to cover Gunter. But then we've got an embarrassment of Richards, I think, if we get it right, in midfield. Mars, Chislett, Paris, Asal, Pell and Woodyard, if they're all fit.
I'm calling it embarrassing. I think you're right. I think we're still a little bit short on a natural right-sided player, would be my view there. I also would start to argue about PK in defence, because I've not felt comfortable yet in that centre-back. It just feels it's not quite there. That's where I'm at. So, and you know, we've not yet that cover third as well, because I think you get that confidence from a confidence goalkeeper, and I think Danaf is a confidence keeper, isn't he? So, you know, if things go wrong, then you can see it you know, drifting out of him. So I think it's a bit done there.
Whatever we do in the weekly agenda, we have to make sure that we put in a little slot for Niall to talk about his confidence in Nick Zanef.
Yeah, man, that's
the thing is, Zanef is very tall, and I'm not quite so tall. So if this ever gets back to Nick Zanef, I want everybody to know that actually, who was saying it was my brother Matt, who says this, and not that. So it's Mr. Cooper,
as in, of course, Mr. it was. Cooper
says it, of course, it was. Not me at all.
I like Nick. I genuinely do, Nick Zanef, and I'm really hoping that we can get him on this program at some point. That would just be brilliant, you know.
You're so sincere.
Just test his confidence.
Moving us along on Say My Wombles, I'd like to introduce young Mr. Alex Folks, because Alex has one or two bees in his bonnet, I do believe, which relates to a certain Mr. Luke McCormack and his transfer to Bristol Rovers, which, needless to say, we will never exactly find out how much he was transferred for and exactly what the arrangements were with Chelsea. Over to you, Alex.
Well, this is the thing. It's not just the McCormick transfer. It's the Harry Pell transfer. It's the Jack Rodoni transfer. It's all these undisclosed fees. And it does my head in why these are always undisclosed fees. So we have a policy as a club, which I think is really good, which is we want to be open and transparent. And so we will always, where possible, disclose the fees we pay and the fees we receive for our players, which is good, which is the right way to go. Why is it the right way to go? Well, for two reasons. The first is that there is a problem with corruption in football. Now, I am not for a second accusing our club, Huddersfield, Altrincham and Bristol Rovers, the players, all their agents of anything nefarious. I'm sure they haven't done anything wrong. But there is a problem perceived in the UK, and that definitely occurs in other countries, where money doesn't always transfer as it should do. So we want this transferability. We want this openness and transparency in order to make sure that everything is above board. We're not getting it. The second reason, and I think a more relevant one for us in the situation we're in, is we want to be able to judge the board that we elect and the board of AFC Wimbledon on their performance. You know, we aren't a normal club. We are fan-owned. Everybody around this table has a share in the club. We are owners. We elect, or we choose not to elect, but we elect the people to run our club. I want to be able to judge, are they doing a good job or not? So I want to know, with Jack Rodoni, how much did we get for him? Is he our first £1 million player? I suspect the answer is probably just not, but we don't know. Luke McCormick, did we get any money for him? Or did we just get him off our wages book? Now, we can each have our own opinion as to how much we should have got for him or whether it just getting him out the door was enough. But I want to know how much that was. Was it a good bit of business for us? How much did we have to pay Chelsea, if anything? Harry Pell, how much have we paid for Harry Pell from Altrincham? He might be a good player, he might not be a good player. Personally, I think he's going to be a great asset to the team. But I want to know how much we're shelling out for him. And I think that we as club owners deserve to get this. Now, we are told, and this is where I wrap up, but we are told that in order to disclose these fees, both clubs need to, both the sellers and the buyers need to agree to it. And in each case, whether it's Bristol Rovers or Huddersfield or Accrington, they haven't agreed to release the amount. And at the end of the day, I don't think that's good enough. If we are in this business, not just to be a football club, but to change football for the better, if we believe in fair game, if we believe in B Corp, if we believe in all these things that we campaigned for right back to the days when we stood outside the FA in Soho Square and campaigned against franchise football, and we need to be convincing these other clubs that actually the reason of openness and transparency is a good enough one to disclose these fees. So I don't think we're doing good enough at this through this transfer window, and I don't think we ever have. So that's my rant for the week.
Alex, I mean, I think these are really good points. I guess for us saying that we are all of a like mind here, I think some other supporters aren't, in terms of, you know, getting the best, you know, or the B Corp and all of that sort of stuff. I think we're totally all of a mind here. I guess the argument against, one of the arguments against, is, does it give people an advantage? Does it give our opposition an advantage if we say we've got £1 million for him? Does that mean if we're going to get another player that someone goes, well, hold on a minute, we found out you've got £1 million from that person. Is that a problem? But I guess, Niall, you're the best person to answer this as someone who sits on the DTB, but of course you're speaking, you know, from your own mind.
We're picked up on a different edition, I think, right now, because there are a lot of issues that Alex mentioned as well. What I'd like to do, however, is something that I flagged up myself earlier on in terms of points to raise, and that is talk about our loanee, our best loanee 11. In the limited time we got left on this week's pod, look to actually mention this week's loanee, this week's best of, and that will be the loanee 11. That is to say, who are the best players, not the worst players, but the best players that we've had on loan at the football club as AFC Wimbledon in recent years. Obviously, putting together a very straightforward, bog standard 4-4-2, so that we can actually agree in a simple, short period of time. So throwing it out there, first and foremost, some random lonely goalkeepers.
I'm going first. I'm going first because I want to mention Aaron Ramsdale before anybody else can. Thank you.
And listen, before this started, we have a bit of a conversation and there's minus points for mentioning Aaron Ramsdale. He's the obvious lone choice. Everyone has mentioned Aaron Ramsdale.
I can't believe.
I think we have to have the best 11 that doesn't feature Aaron Ramsdale.
No. Let's do it properly. But I can't believe you're missing out Corin Brooks-Reed and Ben Wilson and John Sullivan and Neil Sullivan. And I'm sure there's a few other random goalkeepers we've had through the CCL and Ryman days that I've forgotten already.
Well, I think it's going to be obvious if we're disobeying the rules that Ramsdale will be the obvious number one. Other than that, Kilroos or Neil Sullivan. Obviously, as he was back in the Premier League days.
Roos can be on the bench. But yeah, Ramsdale, for the sake of shortness of time, we'll go with Ramsdale. Okay,
yeah.
On the defensive side, which is going to be quite amusing because I now can't find the list that I prepared for everybody. On the defensive side, you've got Darnell Johnson. You've got Henry Lawrence to be discussed. Should he even be allowed to be on the list? Who else have you got at centre-backs? You've got Semi Ajayi now playing for Rotherham, I believe, in the Championship. Any other defenders? Steve Seddon, quite possibly at left-back. A couple of times we had him on loan. Any other defenders to throw in the mix that we put into our best only 11?
George Dobson, Mads Sorensen.
They're all midfield players.
Darius Charles and Deji were both loaned to us before they signed.
Oh, that's a technicality that they both then signed on full terms. But yeah, fair enough.
Oh, where did Darius Charles play? Because that might sort out my
centre-back situation. Centre-back.
Of course he's centre-back.
First time round when he played, as opposed to the second time round when he didn't play.
I would say Darius Charles and Steve Seddon would both be like useful. I'd have both of those in. Because when they were first here, they were really good.
I'd have Deji
and Deji.
Mads Sorensen. Yeah. Steve said Mads Sorensen.
Mads Beck Sorensen with the mad crazy hair.
Yeah. I got the same. Deji, Sorensen, Seddon. And then for right back, I've got Johnson, who's being retrained because he's Heskey's grandson. And because the other players, Lawrence and Watson, are null and void because they play.
Null and void. That's very true. Yeah.
So that's it.
And there's another rant that you could start as to how any self-respecting footballer could play on loan for Wimbledon and then go and play for the team in Buckinghamshire.
Ugh.
Yeah.
They clearly don't care.
Interesting. I'd have had Seddon, Mads, Sorensen, Darius and Deji.
Yeah.
All right. Anyone disagreeing on Deji? No? Okay. And then your right back is? I've got Seddon and Darius Charles and Deji.
Seddon.
Seddon's a left back.
You just said Seddon.
Yeah. Seddon, Darius, Charles, and Deji. That's three defenders. We're playing a back four.
Sorensen. So get Darius, Charles, or Deji to retrain as a right back.
Okay. Fair enough. Right. Midfield.
Oh, I'll go first just because I can. I got Magoma, Yule, and St. Luce.
Oh, controversial. Kevin St. Luce. Lesser spotted.
Yeah. Aren't we going four mid?
Let's go four mid.
4-3-3. Yeah.
well, to be honest, we've got so many strikers, we probably have to go 4-3-3.
Yeah, that's what I've got. So carry on, though.
All right, I'll give you Magoma. I'm not giving you Kevin St. Luce.
Why?
Which would mean why?
You got Magoma left mid, Yule attacking midfielder, and St. Luce right mid. They actually fit the formation.
I'm not giving you St. Luce.
No.
Oh. What about Longman or Sanders?
Yeah, actually, Max Sanders. I don't know if I remembered him on the list. Yeah. Or Dobson. Sanders or Dobson. I'm going Dobson in that regard.
Because Dobson's good balance. If you're talking about on that, Dobson wouldn't be a bad person to have in that team.
Okay, I'm the manager. I've elected myself manager. So Magoma and Dobson, you can have one attacking midfield player now.
The other thing I didn't mention, though, is Magoma needs to be retrained by his brother, Jax, to be actually a left midfielder.
What about Billy Knott?
Ah, Billy Knott.
Yeah. See, at the time, these players were fundamentally good.
If we start getting to the AFC Wimbledon early years, and you start thinking about who else we thought was brilliant then, but actually would not cut it in League One or League Two.
This is all loans. I don't think we had any in loans in the early years,
though. We did have a few loans in the early years. There were people that came down from like, do we have a loan from West Ham at one point?
There was a West Ham guy, George Moncur.
Moncur was really good for us.
Okay, so Moncur, Yule, or not? You can only choose one.
Well, I'm choosing Yule because he was brilliant when he played for us in the Premier League. That's all. I will live on that overhead kick against Southampton as a debut goal for a long time.
All right, we'll give you that. So, three strikers.
And it's not many other people that have to give him a ball in the yard of grass as a song.
Three strikers, and you've got about a minute to do it, guys.
All right, go on. What are the strikers? Go on, you guys, for it.
Well, NYC, Smith, Tubbs, Forrester, and Kai Mohammed. I mean, Kai Mohammed. Mohammed comes with additional. He comes with Dale additional half-time snacks.
We're going to have to do this quick. I'm going with NYC, Force, and
Smith.
Michael Smith. Yeah, target man.
Yeah.
NYC, definitely. Yeah, Force, definitely.
Top fabulous. Gentlemen, you've all been fascinating and fabulous once again. This has been episode 2 of Same Old Wombles.
It might get better.
If you'd like to get in there, check us out on social media and all the different places you can find normal Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and any other ways of finding out podcasts. That's where the Same Old Wombles are. We'll see you same time next week. Happy listening.